Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game. And today I have a very special guest with me to talk about the newest member of the Boston Red Sox. Javi, host of Locked On Padres, is here to talk about former Padre, current Red Sox outfielder, Hunter Renfroe. Javi, I'm so glad you're back.
I'm glad too.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Thank you.
Should we talk about this guy, Hunter Renfroe? Because I'm really interested in this signing, and I want to hear your thoughts as our Padres expert.
Sure. So it's funny because, you know, Hunter Renfroe, there's a lot of sides to this. First of all, I want to just throw out there for the listeners, you know, I was joking with Gabrielle before this was Sunday when I was joking. I was texting her, like, our CPA is up, our collective podcasting agreement, i.e.
Yep.
She's been on the podcast so many times that I guess we were just due to do another one. And almost like the universe heard me. They were like, okay, Hunter Renfroe just signed with the Red Sox. So there's like a connection there. So I'm really happy about that. It's a good sign. And in terms of Hunter Renfroe himself, well, you know, obviously he played for the Rays this season and he wasn't very good.
I was about to say he only played 42 games. And then I remembered that we only played 60 games this season. But he did struggle. He had a 156 batting average.
Not good.
It was not an ideal season for him compared to the kind of bat power we've seen from him in the past in San Diego in the first four seasons of his career.
Mm-hmm. And with Hunter Renfroe, the thing I think people have to understand is just, you know, he's just I consider him a Padres legend currently just because he was the piece in now famously the Jake Cronenworth trade. So that's really my – I love Hunter Renfroe. I wish the best for him. I hope that he does better. He's not too old, if I'm not mistaken. He's 28, so it's not like it's the end of his career and that he's a total bust or anything. But he got his Hunter Renfroe, Tommy Pham, and Jake Cronenworth. So as far as I'm concerned, Hunter Renfroe is a legend. I do wonder, though, like, this must feel great. The replacement for Mookie Betts, Hunter Renfroe, how does that feel?
You know, it's interesting because...
You mean already?
Yeah, I know. You're so mean. I don't think I missed that Yankees 27 championship. Renfroe is interesting because he was actually drafted by the Red Sox in 2010 in the MLB amateur draft. So he actually was originally on the Red Sox radar a decade ago. And then, of course, he ended up making his debut when he got drafted the second time in 2013 in the first round of the June draft after going to college. So Red Sox scouts have been in on this guy for a while, which is interesting. And of course, now he's played five seasons in Major League Baseball. And aside from this past season, which I feel like we shouldn't base anyone's performances on their 2020 to a certain extent, because I mean, hopefully we're never going to see another season like this. He's a great player. That being said, you know, obviously, we can't even talk about replacing Mookie Betts. My thing is that what I'm thinking right now is it means Jackie Bradley Jr. might not be coming back.
Mm. Oh, that's a great angle on this. Yeah, Jackie Bradley Jr. I forgot about him.
Right. So I looked it up. I actually looked up how many appearances Andrew Benintendi, Alex Verdugo, Hunter Renfroe, and Jackie Bradley Jr. have made in each of the outfield positions over their careers. And obviously JBJ has been playing since 2013, so he has more than any of them. But Benintendi has 425 career appearances in left field, 71 in center, and 0 in right. Verdugo has 76 in center, 75 in right, and 59 in left. And Renfroe has 125 in left, 4 in center, and 304 in right field. So I speculated this morning that they would put Hunter Renfroe in right field, shift Verdugo to center where he has the one game advantage over his appearances in right field. And then, of course, Benintendi will stay in left field. But that's also assuming that Renfroe and Benintendi will be everyday players, which isn't a foregone conclusion. But this idea was confirmed by Chaim Bloom later in the day during the press conference when he said that as of right now, if the season started tomorrow, Alex Verdugo would be playing center field and Renfro would be in right. So it is interesting to note that this could be the beginning of the goodbyes for Jackie Bradley Jr. or the end of the hope for those of us who wanted him to come back.
Yeah, it might be. And I mean, you know, with Renfro, I mean, look, it could be worse. I mean, it's not like Jackie Bradley Jr. was always an offensive, you know, beast. I know he had that 1 year, which was great for all my fantasy baseball homies out there. That was awesome. But for the most part, just a defensive star. Hunter Renfro kind of not, I don't think he's not Jackie Bradley Jr., but he's kind of molded low key into like a pretty good defensive outfielder lately. And I know, like, look, the thing with the Padres is that 1 year he had with the 33 home runs is so misleading. I mean, I'm not going to like, you know, you'll have like the Mike Wilbon type people. Oh, when he hit 33 home runs. It's like, all right, congratulations. He also had like the worst second half in history when he batted 161, which was really great, I think, for the team overall. And kind of was a sign of where the Padres, you know, what their kind of whole lineup was, along with Franmil, who was kind of the same way. I know he had a little bit not nice of a season, but just these guys who had a ton of power, but they just didn't walk like once. I mean, can we knock that on base percentage up to like 330 at least? That's all I'm asking for. So that was kind of the problem with Hunter Renfro, but it's not, you know, since the Red Sox are considered a rebuilding team now for some reason, it's like you could do a lot worse, I think, than taking a flyer on Renfro at this point.
Yeah, I definitely think we could do worse. I also think in general, this team could be aiming higher.
Your team is hilarious. It seems hilarious. They went from winning the World Series to being like, ah, darn, we had one season not go our way. We got to blow it up. It's like, why are the Red Sox? What are you doing?
Like, truly the most frustrating thing to be watching it. I remember on the day of the 2019 trade deadline, I was sitting in my car after a Pilates class that I took to distract myself from the trade deadline. And the class got out at like 3:30. And the last half hour, I was like sitting in the car in front of the studio right down the street from Fenway, just like watching the clock tick down, and it's 4 o'clock and like, that's it. That's all she wrote. And I was like, wow, they really did nothing. They did nothing. I was in absolute shock. I could not believe it. I was like, this is the most ridiculous situation. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm not like mad about the move. I'm also not over the moon or over the monster per se about the move. I think that his bat obviously has some pop. You know, the way that he pulls can be very beneficial with the monster. But at the same time, I don't trust an outfield that is every day Benintendi, Verdugo, and Renfro. I just don't. That's not a consistent enough,
I forgot about Benintendi.
Solid enough outfield.
I think Andrew Benintendi forgot about Andrew Benintendi. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, I mean, yeah. I think it was... Who was I talking to? Oh, Nash from Locked On Twins and I were doing a crossover. We did a crossover and we were talking about Benintendi. And I was like, I feel like people think I actually like hate Andrew Benintendi. Mm-hmm. And that's not it at all. It's that he seems so unhappy and he's been so unsuccessful the last two seasons that he just doesn't seem like he wants to be here. And if someone's headspace is just like so far gone in that respect, it's going to take a huge amount of work to turn it around. And I just don't know if that's possible at this point, or if it's just part do like a Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin and just like consciously uncouple, mutually agree to part ways and like get something in return for him on the market. I don't know. At first it was just his bat. And then like towards the end of 2019, the few games he played in 2020, it's like his defense wasn't there either. So it like the guy's just totally falling apart. It's really sad to see. But yeah, I just, you know, the way that the Fenway outfield is so interestingly constructed with the triangle in center and the little corner in right field and everything, you really need adept outfielders there, which is why you cannot overstate how good JBJ is in center field. And like, I would have no problem with a platoon of Renfro and Verdugo in right field. I don't know what to do about Andrew Benintendi and then Jackie Bradley Jr. in center field kind of holding this thing together with popsicle sticks and glue, because if this is your group, you need a veteran out there. You just do. I want to talk about Built Bar for a second, because Built Bar makes protein bars that taste like candy bars. I have no idea how they do it, but these bars are soft and easy to chew. They're coated in 100% chocolate, but they are all low calorie, low sugar, and high protein and high fiber. And the best part, like I said, soft and easy to chew and taste like candy. So you're putting good stuff into your body. You're not worried about breaking a tooth while you're doing it. And just in time for the holiday season, they have introduced all new white chocolate bars. They have white chocolate cookies and cream, white chocolate salted caramel, white chocolate cherry sundae, and white chocolate coconut deluxe. These bars each have 17 grams of protein, but they only have 130 calories. And for a limited time only, when you buy Built Bars, you get two free candy cane brownie bars, another new flavor, with every item purchased. So if you are looking to lose or maintain weight, or you love to indulge in a sweet treat, but you don't want the guilt that comes with it, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your order and check out all of these amazing new holiday flavors. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com.
See, it's funny with the Red Sox, like there's not much else you could say besides what you just said right now. It's kind of one of those teams where their whole narrative around them is kind of one note at this point, where it's just like, yeah, they just – I mean, it's basically ever since the Mookie trade, it's basically been kind of the same story with them, and they just don't have anything. I don't know what's going on with like Chris Sale and guys like that, or the JD Martinez thing. Throwing. I know that that's become like, oh man, I feel bad with the JD Martinez thing almost, because he was such a good player for a while. Now that contract might be a little bit of an albatross in the league, but we'll have to see. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the full details on it. And also, it's a 60-game season. Isn't that so weird? Like, it's going to be so hard to kind of, because even with the Padres, where one of the things I've been kind of talking about with my team lately, just to make it a little Padres for a second, because I'm selfish. I think that one of the things with my team is, you know, Will Myers, Eric Hosmer, Jake Cronenworth, those are the three guys that I think were, they had those like breakout standout performances on the team in terms of not something that everybody would have pinned down. So it's kind of like, should we go into next season being like, yeah, the Padres are a top six team? Well, I think Tatis and Machado are legit. I think Trey Grisham's legit. I think that also Lebet's legit, but there are some like lower people on the totem pole that I don't know if they're 100% going to replicate that. Don't get me wrong. That's kind of the same case for every season. That's kind of fun about baseball. Who knows? The Red Sox could be good next year. Maybe your boy, Verdugo will just be fantastic. Who knows? Maybe he'll be like a 30-30 guy. I don't know. Like maybe he could be awesome. Make Red Sox fans hate themselves just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit less for what transpired in the offseason. But I don't know about you. It's been interesting, and I've been really enjoying how I really like that we're diving so deep in a Hunter Renfro. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. It's just like it kind of fully encapsulates where we are at. One, just doing podcasts right now.
What, just like begging right for now. Crumbs about any news yeah, and anything like, to yes. talk about. It's like, yeah, let's talk about like, Hunter Renfro's childhood. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like whenever this comes out, like one of the new news is like the Padres are interested in this Japanese, this pitcher or whatever. I forgot his name, but I'm like, oh man.
When you see Sugano, you're going to have to fight me for him. Yeah. He's amazing. I want him on the Red Sox mound in a Red Sox uniform. I want that guy in my rotation. Man. So many teams want him because he's like an affordable, less problematic Trevor Bauer.
Oh, God.
He's won the Japanese equivalent of the Cy Young twice, and he's like 30 years old.
Well, how about that? Yeah, that's the other thing. He's 30 years old. Okay, so he's not super young or anything, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to just hopefully, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I would love to hear what Trevor Bauer sounds like tomorrow. I would love it. If it was on my team, I would have content for days. Don't get me wrong. I am not... I've kind of decided on not wanting him just because for a variety of reasons, not just based on his play or his off-field antics, whatever you want to call them. It's just where the Padres team is made up. I just don't think that would be the best course of action right now. But I would love for that to happen. I'm kind of embracing. I'm like, dang, if only like every big free agent in baseball was just like, hey guys, tune into my YouTube channel tonight. Like it's like National Signing Day for football, where it's just, I ranked the Padres as my third most preferred team, or whatever it was he was doing on the YouTube the other day. It'd be a lot more fun, and I just, you know, it's kind of crazy that basketball's starting up too. I know you've got more to root for on that point. You know, you definitely could be excited.
Oh my God, I cannot wait. Jason
Tatum, your large adult son, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown.
Oh no, I'm just waiting for Kemba to come back.
Oh, Kemba. Such an adequate, fine, much better chemistry guy than the previous point guard I think you had on your team.
You just call my man Kemba adequate on a Boston sports podcast?
I did. I think he's fine and has his moments and he's on a good team. I'm sorry. All right. Maybe adequate isn't the right word.
You know what?
I think he was adequate last year. He was adequate last year.
Yeah, because he was hurt the whole freaking year.
Yeah, that's true.
The thing with Kemba is that he spends all of his time making his teammates look good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you forget that he's actually really good because he's a team player. He's not out there like, you know, I don't remember what it was that I was watching recently where, and I can't believe we turned Locked On Red Sox into a Kemba podcast, but that's I remember what I was watching recently, but it was something about how like, oh, you know what it was? It was that I've been listening to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's books on Audible.
Oh, wow.
To help me fall asleep because he writes amazing books and he has a really soothing voice. So he's reading his own life stories. Writer, yeah. And it's amazing. I love him. He's my favorite of all time. And so he was talking about when he was at UCLA with his legendary coach, John Wooden, and Wooden wanted him to be, you know, he was already a team player, but Wooden was worried when he came to the school because he was already such a superstar that he would be a superstar and he wouldn't be like good at, you know, passing and stuff because he'd always want to be the scorer. Of course, they quickly figured out that wasn't Kareem's brand at all. He was a total team player, but Wooden had been worried because he said oftentimes highest scorers are on losing teams because they just want to make it all about themselves. So anyway, that's the whole Kemba thing of like, yeah, he's not putting up the most points, but what he's doing is enabling his teammates to score. And then, of course, every once in a while, he'll do his like iconic step back for a three. And you're just like, oh, right. It's still cardiac Kemba out there. It's just that he evolved into like a team leader who's enabling everybody else instead of taking all the spotlight for himself. Anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, in a vacuum. If I just like wanted a basket, I'd probably take Kyrie Irving. But then, like I said, in a vacuum. You know me. I think we've known each other long enough. I have every now and then, like, don't get me wrong. I understand.
You love a little drama.
Yeah, like, I if Trevor Bauer signed with the Yankees, I wonder what the heck that would look like. I can't wait. I just really can't wait for Trevor Bauer to sign. And because he's the only interesting free agent. Let me be clear. I'm not saying he's the best one necessarily. You could argue he's one of the, like, five best, I think. But I think he's just the most interesting one, like, probably by far. Him and Nelson Cruz, honestly. I want to know where Nelson Cruz goes. But anyway, that's enough.
I know, I'm so curious.
Hunter Renfro, man. Yeah. I have to give a shout out to the guy, though, because he did give us Time and Fame and Jake Cronenworth, and I'm really curious to see, you know, if the Padres, if there's one negative thing that's happened is that they don't have a lot of outfield depth, so I'm hoping that they, you know, maybe improve that a little bit in the offseason.
You want to talk to me about outfield depth? The Red Sox traded Mookie Betts.
Your team is so funny.
All right. So this turned out to be so much fun that it's definitely going to be two episodes. So thank you for coming on. Tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me on the old Twitter app at @LO_Padres. Not me, actually. That's my Twitter account for the show. Lots of good stuff on there. Good graphics because one Gabrielle Starr here knows how to make great graphics. So stay tuned for that. Really, really fun one coming in, guys. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned for that one. And then, if you just want dumb tweets about football, how Justin Herbert's my husband, how One Piece is the best show ever made and I'm obsessed with it, or just random thirst traps. No, I'm kidding. That's a lie. But seriously, if you just want my thoughts and stuff on my personal account, you can find me on Twitter at Javipeno, which is spelled JAVIIPENO.
Awesome. And guys, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at GFSTARR1. You can follow Locked On Red Sox at @LO_Red Sox. Thanks so much for tuning in. Wear a mask. And as always, go Red Sox.